All right. Hey, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com, July 18th, 2023. I want to talk about Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Revelation, and the whore, and the harlot, and the beast, and the identity of Jesus Christ. Is that enough? Is that enough to cover in this little podcast? All right, Revelation 18, 17, and 18. Go read that. Read about the whore. Read about the whore of Babylon. Isaiah chapter 46 and especially 47. Read Isaiah chapter 47. You'll learn about this whore. You'll learn about this queen, the virgin daughter of Babylon. Go read Ezekiel. This is very subversive stuff. Ezekiel chapter 16, read about the whore, read about the adulteress. It's all the same person. It's all the same person we're talking about here. These aren't different people. When the Holy Scripture says something, and you want to know what the Holy Scriptures mean, you don't need to have. You don't need to fast for 45 days and eat your grandmother's kimchi or whatever it is. The scriptures interpret scripture. You don't need to go get a PhD in theology. You don't need to read Spurgeon's commentaries. Now, as a younger man, I had a bunch of friends. They had all these different Bible commentaries. Matthew Henry's Bible commentaries. Nothing wrong with those things. Wonderful stuff, all of them. You get Bible commentary every Sunday when you go to church from your preacher. So I'm not against commentaries. What I'm saying is, it's all in the Word, man. It's all in the Bible. One of my favorites is when you open up the book of Matthew and you start reading through the book of Matthew, and they go on about this, you know, the brood of vipers, the brood of vipers. John the Baptist, he starts talking about the brood of vipers. And I used to think he was just making up a cuss word. You know, I didn't know. And Jesus Christ says, "Oh, you brood of vipers." He talks about the brood of vipers. And I thought, "Oh, you're people are cussing. You know, people aren't that religious. John wasn't that religious. Jesus wasn't that religious. They're cussing. He's cussing these people out." Well, little did I know. Genesis 3, verse 15 talks about the brood of vipers. It doesn't say the brood of vipers. It says the serpent's seed. Okay, that's a perfect example of the Holy Scripture interpreting Holy Scripture. What's the seed of? It's the brood of. What's the viper? It's the serpent. It's the devil. It's the Satan. So when John the Baptist and Jesus Christ talk about the brood of vipers, how do you interpret that? You go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when it talks about the seed of the serpent. Holy Scriptures interpret Holy Scriptures. So when we go up and we read Revelation chapter 18, you're talking about the whore of Babylon. Let's read through the few scriptures on this whore of Babylon. And just a little bit of background. When the 10 northern tribes were dispersed abroad, they went off wherever they went. Actually, when they went to Assyria, and from there they went onward, leaving the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, with the minor addition of the tribe of Benjamin. And when they eventually went off into captivity in, I think, 586 BC, they went, where do they go? They go to Babylon. And by the way, these people don't just go to Babylon. If you read about the book of Esther, they're over there in the Persian Empire. They're over there as well. But when the Jews go to Babylon, that's where they start calling themselves Jews. They really didn't refer to themselves as Jews until that experience. Now, you might want to quibble with me a little bit, and that's fine. I'm sure there's room to quibble. But by and large, even the Jews themselves will say their identity as Jews emerged out of Babylon, emerged in Babylon. The fact of the Talmud, the oral traditions, emerged out of Babylon, emerged in Babylon. That's why you have the Babylonian Talmud. Comes out of Babylon. They're in Babylon, and they're things are changing, things are morphing. They had already abandoned the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why they were cast into exile in the first place. And they decided, hey, you know, we don't really like this Moses guy, and we don't really like these prophets, but it kind of forms a part of our identity, but we're going to reinterpret it. And so what we're saying is that Moses actually had an oral tradition that he passed down from father to son for generations and generations and generations and generations. And that's how we interpret the Holy Scriptures. In fact, our oral tradition is more important than the Holy Scriptures. And that's Judaism. That's Judaism in a heart. The heart of Judaism is the oral tradition. It's not the Torah. It's not the law. It's not the prophets. And this isn't even Fritz Berger's ideas. This is actually Jesus Christ's ideas. If you go back and read Jesus Christ, he says, look, if you'd believed in Moses, you'd believed in me. And you go read Matthew chapter 15. I know, I'm straying from the topic. He says, look, why do you abandon the law for your traditions? In any respect, they're over there in Babylon. And they are continuing to move away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they have all these evil ideas that emerge, and eventually they're written down as the Talmud. But read about this whore. The seven angels, this begins in Revelation 17. One of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and spoke to me. He said, come here, I'll show you the great harlot who sits on many waters. All right. I love this stuff. I'm going to show you the great harlot. This is really important. The angel's going to show John the harlot. And what's the waters? It's many different nations. Many different peoples and nations. That's what the waters are. All right? And already we know they were in the land of Canaan. I already know they're in the land of Babylon. And certainly it's progressed from then. She has blasphemous names. 17 verse 6, the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. Now, we've talked a lot about that. Who's guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ? Who's the enemy of the witnesses of Jesus Christ? In the Holy Scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Book of Acts. It's the Jews. It's the people that call themselves the Jews. It's the Jews. Go read the Book of Acts. It's the Jews that are guilty of the blood of the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Verse 15 and verse 17, it says, the waters you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Okay, these are the wandering Jews. Okay, they're in Babylon. They're in Persia. We have Jews in Europe. There are people that call themselves Jews. They actually steal that name. That's why Jesus Christ says in Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, he said they call themselves Jews, but they're liars. They're liars. They're false Jews, identity thieves, spiritual trannies. All right? Now, that's enough for now. There's a lot more in there, but that's enough for now. Let's go back and let's look at Ezekiel 16. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but this is what the Lord is talking about. He's talking to these people that live in Jerusalem. This is the people who would eventually call themselves Jews. And what did he call them? Well, let's see. Verse 15, you played the harlot and your harlotries. Verse 16, you played the harlot. Verse 17, that you might play the harlot with them. Verse 20, were your harlotries so small a matter? Verse 22, besides all your abomination, the harlotries. Verse 25, you spread your legs to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. Verse 26, you played the harlot with the Egyptians. Well, there's another country. Moreover, you played the harlot with the Assyrians. Oh, there's another country. You played the harlot with them and were not satisfied. You also multiplied your harlotry with the land of the merchants in Chaldea. You were not satisfied. How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord, while you do all these things, the actions of a bold-faced harlot. You ever heard that term before, a bold-faced harlot? It comes out of the Bible. It used to be common in popular literature. She's a bold-faced harlot. It comes right out of the Holy Scriptures, right out of the Bible. Unfortunately, again, I'm going to go off into land that I shouldn't. You know, we have many of our... Well, there's many people that have ended up being bold-faced harlots, okay? Let's put it that way. And I can get to the men, too. They troop off to the brothel. Okay, and this day and age, we don't even have to go there. We just, it's all over. All right, you don't even have to go down to the brothel. It's just, you show up at the local party. Anyway, you adulteress's wife, men give gift to harlots, but you're different. You pay them. Verse 35, oh harlot. Verse 36, through your harlotries. All right, you getting the idea? Okay, here's a harlot. Scripture interprets Scripture, and you can find this in vastly more places than Ezekiel 16, but it's there. Verse 41, this is again Ezekiel 16, you're playing the harlot. All right, and on and on and on and on. All right, let's turn over, let's turn back to, and we're going to end up with Ezekiel, but let's go back to Revelation. So this harlot, okay, she's in all the world, she comes out, she's in all these different nations now. And continues to be that way. The blood of the saints is on her. She's a murderer of the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Who else can that be but the Jews, those who call themselves Jews? Read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a forever book. And again, I'll go back and say to all these Christians, all the churches, well, we want a New Testament church. We're a New Testament church. I've heard that before. I probably said that before. We're a New Testament church. Book of Acts, man, you know, Day of Pentecost, the whole nine yards. Well, then who are your enemies? You want to be a Book of Acts church, who are your enemies? Well, those are God's people. Oh, you want to be a Book of Acts church. You want to be a New Testament church. And you're siding not only with the enemies of Jesus Christ, but with the enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, you don't understand. No. I think it's the other way around. The waters which you saw where the harlot sits, these are peoples and multiples and nations and tongues. I'm going to save you a special treat for that verse 16 of Revelation chapter 17. The woman which you saw is the great city. So there's a it's the woman is also the great city. All right. And Jesus Christ warns in 18 verse 4, come out of her, my people. So there's a problem with the people. There's a problem with the people. All right. The nations were deceived by your sorcery. Verse 18, 23, and verse 24. In her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints of all who have been slain upon the earth. Revelation 19, he's judged the great harlot in the earth with her immorality. All right, this is these people that converted to Talmudism. Satan becomes their God. Satan becomes their God. I'm telling you, it's what Jesus Christ said. They're the synagogue of Satan. Verse 20 of Revelation 18, rejoice over her, O heavens, and you saints and prophets, because God has pronounced for you judgment upon them. Strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it in the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. All right? The light of the lamp won't shine in you any longer. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who had been slain upon the earth. Now, we also see that Jesus Christ said that. I think Stephen said that. Where does it say? Where does it say? It says, listen, from you. Well, Jesus said, he says, listen, you prove that you're the sons of those who murdered the prophets. And where does it say that all the blood that was shed from Abel on down to Zechariah will be laid at your feet? And here was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who have been slain upon the earth. Because the judgments are true and right, for he has judged the great harlot, who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants upon her. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 16. He's judging the harlot. You're a harlot and you're getting judged. Oh, bonus, bonus. Let me give you the bonus right here. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah 47 is rich. Isaiah 47. Come now and sit down in the dust, oh, virgin daughter of Babylon. Okay, so it goes from the virgin daughter of Babylon to the whore of Babylon. Revelation 18, verse 7. We're going to compare that to Revelation 18, verse 7. To the degree she has glorified herself and sensuously lived, to the same degree give her torment in mourning. For she says in her heart, so does a queen, I am not a widow, and I will never see mourning. Where does that come from? Comes that right out of here. Isaiah 47. Sit silently and go into the darkness. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you will no longer be called the queen of kingdoms. Verse 7, you said, I will sit as a queen forever. Okay, that's Isaiah chapter 47. And it's Revelation 18, verse 9. It's in here. Scripture interprets scripture. It's right here. Here's the whore. Here's the virgin daughter of Babylon. Here's the one who said, I'm going to sit as a queen forever. Hear this, you sensual one who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, and there is no one besides me. I will not sit as a widow, nor no loss of children. But these two things will come upon you suddenly in one day, loss of children and widowhood, that will come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many, many sorceries. Oh, my goodness. In spite of your many, many sorceries, in spite of your great power, in spite of the great power of your spells. That's Isaiah 47, verse 9. Let's go back to Revelation 18, verse 23. The light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer, for thy merchants and thy great men of the earth, because the nations were deceived by your sorcery, and in you was found the blood of the prophets and saints. The sorcery is there in Isaiah. The sorcery is there in the Revelation. The harlot's there in Ezekiel. The harlot's there in the Revelation. All right. This woman, the great city. Now, let's go back to Revelation 17. These will make war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are the peoples and the multitudes and the nations. They go in to other nations, and they suborn and corrupt them, and enslave and destroy them. That's the story of the book of Esther. That's the story of the book of Esther. Go read the book of Esther. This is an evil people in the book of Esther. They're not a righteous and good people in the book of Esther. They go from the land of Canaan to the land of Babylon to the land of Persia. And in Persia, they go in there and they seduce and they corrupt. Esther was beautiful, but she was not a righteous woman, nor was Mordecai. They were Satan worshipers. There's not one reference to God Almighty in the book of Esther. There's not one reference to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or Moses, or the law. There's not one prayer in the book of Esther. Oh, they fast. Oh, sure, they fast. But the Hindus fast. Indians fast. All kinds of people fast. And what do they do in the book of Esther? They murder. And they took over the empire from the inside. Oh, there's anti-Semitism. We're afraid of anti-Semitism. Oh, everybody's anti-Semites. Nobody laid a hand on the Jews in the book of Esther. Nobody laid a hand on the Jews in the book of Esther. They took power from the inside, and they murdered 75,000. That's the Jews. And they established a whole new religion, a whole new identity, a whole new holy day called Purim. Will they celebrate the murder of their enemies, even though nobody had laid a hand on them? This is the Jew. This is the modern Jew, and it's right in your Holy Scriptures. All right, that's the bad news. I'm going to give you some good news. Let's read through a few verses of chapter 47. O virgin daughter of Babylon, O daughter of the Chaldeans. And again, I mentioned Jesus. I was going to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus Christ. Isaiah 47, verse 4. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. That's Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. That's Jesus Christ. It's not a different God. It's not a different God. That is Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the previous chapter, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. That's Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ saying this. Who did Isaiah speak of? Who does Isaiah talk to? Who does Isaiah prophesy about? Oh, he prophesies, talks about God. No, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that he's talking about. It's Jesus Christ that he saw. It's Jesus Christ that he prophesies about in Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Does not the Gospels even quote that? Did not the shepherds see that? Oh my God, the great light appeared. And the angel said, go in there. Here's your Savior. Here's the Messiah. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 6. For as long as I've been reading this scripture, it makes me choke up. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Who did Isaiah see? Jesus Christ was very clear. He said, no man has seen the Father. Nobody has seen the Father. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. He said, I saw the Lord. Who did he see? Jesus Christ says, no man has seen the Father. No man has seen the Father. Who did Isaiah see? He saw Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus Christ. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. Sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew, and one called out to the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of thy glory. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. The glory of God was so great that Isaiah couldn't even describe what he saw. He says a train of his robe filled the temple. That's as near as he could get. He couldn't even describe what Jesus Christ looked like. All he could say is, I saw his robe. And the temple filled with smoke, and the foundations trembled. And he says, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my own eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw Jesus Christ. No man has seen the Father. Isaiah saw Jesus Christ. Abraham worshiped Jesus Christ. Isaac worshiped Jesus Christ. Jacob worshiped and wrestled with Jesus Christ. Moses received the Ten Commandments from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Is there not a name for Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts? Is he not the captain of the Lord's host whom Joshua saw? Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. Jesus Christ said that to Moses, and he said the same thing to Joshua. He says, who are you, Lord? Are you for us or for them? He says, no. He says, I am the captain of the Lord's hosts. It's Jesus Christ that Joshua saw. It's Jesus Christ that the prophets worshipped. It's Jesus Christ that Joshua and Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Abraham and Israel and Noah, they worshiped Jesus Christ. They all worship Jesus Christ. We don't worship a different God. We worship Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't emerge 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator. He was there in the very beginning. This is who Moses and the prophets worship. They worship Jesus Christ. They didn't worship some other God. Isaiah 47, talking about this whore. You will no longer be the queen of kingdoms. That's Isaiah 47, verse 5, and it references Revelation 18, verse 7. Isaiah 47, verse 7, you said, I will sit as a queen forever. Revelation 18, verse 7, it says, I sit as a queen and I'm not a widow. It's the same stuff. Isaiah 47, Revelation 18. This is who we worship. This is who we serve. We serve Jesus Christ. We serve the same God that Isaiah saw and worshiped. We serve the same God that Moses saw and Moses worshiped. We serve the same God that Abraham saw and Abraham worshiped. We serve the same God that Isaiah and Israel saw and worshiped. We don't serve a different God. That beautiful one, that princess, the virgin of Babylon, becomes the whore of Babylon. That gets into nations and manipulates them, seduces them with her harlotries, casts spells on them with her sorceries, deceives them with her lies, her blasphemies, riding the beast full of blasphemies in Revelation, controlling the beast, directing the beast. I sit as a queen. Nobody will ever touch me. Revelation 17, verse 16. And the 10 horns which you saw, and the beast, these will hate the harlot. Told you I'm going to end on some really good news. The beast and the 10 kings, they're going to wake up one day. And they're going to turn on the harlot. They're going to turn on her. These will hate the harlot, and they will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose, by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is the great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth. The Almighty says, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. For her sins have piled high up to the God of heaven. Pay her back even as she has paid back. Pay her back double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I'm not a widow. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For the Lord God who judges her is strong. Is that not what Jesus Christ prophesied? Is that not what John the Baptist prophesied? When the axe is laid at the root of the tree, you're going to be cut up and burned with fire. Ezekiel chapter 16. Verse 37. Ezekiel 16, verse 37. Therefore, behold, I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, even those whom you loved and all those whom you hated. So I will gather them against you from every direction and expose your nakedness to them, that they will see your nakedness. Thus I will judge you like the women who commit adultery or shed blood and are judged, and I will bring upon you the blood of wrath and jealousy. I will give you into the hands of your lovers. They will tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip away your clothing, take away your jewels, and leave you naked and bare. They will incite a crowd against you, and they will stone you and cut you to pieces with their swords. They will burn your houses with fire and execute judgments upon you in the sight of many women. Then I will stop you from playing the harlot. No longer will you have many lovers. This happens not once, but it happens many times. Temples destroyed when they kicked them out of the promised land in 586 BC. Temples destroyed in 70 AD. Yet again. And in Revelation, it talks about it yet again. This whore, riding the nations, guiding the nations, ruling them with her evil, their wickedness, their sorcery. She said, "Wake! One day they're going to wake up and they're going to turn against her." Now, what I've just done is probably commit the unforgivable sin as far as Satan's concerned. As far as the synagogue of Satan is concerned, isn't it interesting that we live in a world where you can literally be against people that are against sodomy? In other words, those things are lauded as beautiful, as wonderful. Sodomy and transsexualism. But the greatest sin in the world is to speak against the people that call themselves Jews. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? We build a national religion, an international religion, where you have to worship the Jews. You have to bow down and grovel before the Jews. You have to attend a synagogue of the Jews. You have to go to the cathedrals of the Jews, and they call them Holocaust museums. You can't say the word Jew unless it's dripping with love and deference and adoration. You can't say anything. You can't even mention that somebody's a Jew. And yet the depravity of the harlot, the wickedness of the harlot, is normalized. Oh, I want this message to ring in the church. Oh, I want this to turn around 180 degrees in the church. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Stop being a Judeo-Christian. Stop loving the harlot. Stop supporting the synagogue of Satan. Fritz Bergen. BloodandFaith.com.